You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program. The grass
always green. In studio here with an exclusive, I like to say, interview with Michael Bannerman, Canadian recording artist. After spending the last 18 years touring and recording with the bands High Power and Lost Coin, Michael has just released his solo CD, Losing Balance, and goes passionately beneath the surface. Here's Michael playing Dangerous Fool.
Secrets out, you finally know what I'm all about. It seems you found me out. I'm a coward, afraid of who you are. And you tell me that you love me. What does that mean? When can you I am a hypocrite that runs to you in the thick of it. I get so sick of it, all these games, these silly games I play. And you tell me I'm forgiven. What does that mean? Someone like me, you're dangerous, so dangerous, so dangerously beautiful. I have often asked to see a small glimpse of your mystery, and when you show yourself to me, shut my eyes and turn my head away. And you tell me you will leave me. Where will we go? When can you lead someone too scared to follow? You're dangerous, so dangerous, so dangerously beautiful. Oh, I ask you to speak, then I cover my ears. I push you away after drawing you near. I long for your touch, yet I tremble and feel so afraid.
Amazing. You can take a seat. We'll do a little interview with you. That was amazing. And if you saw Michael, if you see Michael, he's done 18 years of touring, and it looks like he started when he was three. And so I'm looking at him thinking, how in the world, Mike or Michael?
Michael.
You could be touring 18 years with High Power and Lost Coin. What was that like, being on the road for that many years?
Oh, you know what? It's been really neat, actually, to see kind of... certainly Christian music in Canada evolved over that time. When we first started, like Elam Hall, I think, was the big Canadian band at the time. Who else? Daniel Band.
Oh, yeah, the Daniel Band,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, way, way, way back. Those are guys that we were really looking up to. I was in grade 10, actually, when I started, and it really was by accident. we actually entered an air band contest, a bunch of us, and we lost. And later we were playing, and it's like, hey, you actually play? Hey, me too. and we started doing some concerts, and it took off from there. And our first album, my dad actually, for a birthday present, he gave us like about 5 or 6 hours in the studio, basically like $200. And he said, why don't you go in and record a song? And we're like, oh, 5 hours? Well, I can do a whole album in 5 hours. So, I mean, we were naive, but we went in, we did it. We put down 12 songs. Basically, each song we played twice, put the voice down. And that $200 album, we sold 2,900 copies of
Wow.
That, yeah.
How old were you then?
That was grade 10, grade 11.
And sold 2,900 copies of the CD.
Oh, that's, yeah, well, it was a tape.
Oh, a tape. Sorry, tape.
Cassette tape. But at least it was an 8-track. No, it, so suddenly we're a bunch of kids in grade 10 with a whole pile of money, and we bought our first van and our first sound system and all that fun stuff, and just kind of grew out of that.
Where did you play? I mean, you're in grade 10.
At that time we were doing churches, we were doing festivals, we were doing birthday parties, you name it, we played it. We did Miss Teen Georgian Bay. That was one of our first big bookings.
Miss Teen Georgian Bay?
It was absolutely hilarious. We had no clue what we were doing. We were wearing, it was back in the 80s, so we had like the Miami Vice white suits on and the penny loafers and the... And I remember the curtain opening, and we really had no clue what to expect. The curtain opens, there's about 6,000 people there, and our jaws dropped open. And my brother, who was playing keyboards at the time there, he goes, holy crap. And the microphone was on. And so it echoes out throughout the whole place.
Luckily, he only said crap.
Exactly. And then we start to play, and it was a bizarre choice of bands to put with girls walking out in swimsuits. And it was hilariously funny. But we've got... 18 years of stories like that.
Right. No, but what was the strangest? Tell me, Michael. What was the strangest?
Strangest, and actually one of the bookings that probably eventually made me really want to pack it into was we played for WWF Wrestling.
No way.
In Toronto, it was a church that brought in a bunch of these wrestlers, and it was. You know what? It was the epitome of everything I hate about evangelical Christianity. And they brought in, it was Ted DiBiase and the Million Dollar Man and these Road Warriors. And the guy basically started off just like a wrestling. They had the big ring in the middle of the church. They had about 1,200 people who thought they were coming out to see just plain wrestling.
Are you kidding me? They didn't, you mean, was it the switch?
It was brutal. What happened was we started, the guy comes on and he goes, are you ready to rumble? The lights come on. The band is standing in the middle of this wrestling ring. We do this song. It was terrible. We had no monitors. It was brutal. Anyways, then they come on. They wrestle for literally 3 hours straight.
And the fake, because WWF is fake wrestling.
It is, but the one guy got hit with a ladder across the face, and it cut his face open, and there's blood all over. Like, I would love to have been the pastor trying to explain that to the congregation while there's blood everywhere. But then they go into this cheesy, skit where the Road Warriors get nailed to the cross, and they literally had these little midget demons.
Hey, wait a second. What do you mean nailed to the cross?
Well, they had these crosses come out, and it was just like a Carmen moment, with the champion and the music playing, and literally you suddenly had 1,200 people who thought they were there to see wrestling. 1,100 of them got really, really ticked off, and these are wrestling fans, right? So they are expressing it, and it was that part I loved actually, but it was just cheese beyond anything else, just plain cheese. And
so as much as it was cheesy, how then you look at this sort of evangelical experience, which is a bait and switch, and you are a band that they're all Christian in the band.
Yes, yeah.
And how do you make sense of it, and how do you keep strong in your own faith?
That's the problem. That really is what we went through. Is I got to a point, and we all did really as a band. It was about the same time, 18 years of this. And there's so much good. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just coming down. There's some really great bands. We toured with Jars of Clay and Audio Adrenaline and Switchfoot. And there's some really great people out there. There's some real morons. And so you saw the best. You literally saw the best and the worst a lot of the time. But you really got to a point where, for myself, I got really tired of Christianity being a product. And you play at a lot of these festivals, and there's a lot of hype. But behind it all, a lot of the time is two or three companies that are trying to sell the latest single, and they're and somehow you have to match that with the fact that you're also part of it all, and the hypocrisy of that at times is really hard to live with. And so we really got to a point where it was just like, we didn't want to have anything to do with the whole Christian music scene. with the festivals, with the, and it's funny because it started there. It then actually went back even to my perspective on church in a lot of ways. I got tired of churches that becoming so much about numbers. How do we get more people in the pews? How do we, it really came down to is our faith has got to be more than just actions in hopes of converting someone so that we can get them in a pew. I want to love people for the sake of loving someone. You know, whether they accept Christ or not, whether they totally reject everything, that's what I want to be the essence of my faith.
So is this then, Michael, sort of the starting place or maybe the end place of where you finally, after 18 years, packed it up, said, you know what, I'm done. It's official. I'm going to sell the sound system. I'm done with the music and touring and all that.
It's a bit of that, yeah. I finally had something else to say, I think, which, as a musician, for me especially, I don't want to write songs just for the sake of writing songs. I had something else to say. My mother had passed away in February. I had a nephew pass away in April who was really, really young. And going through that whole process, I went into the studio originally just as a place to get away, a kind of a quiet spot where I could kind of write material, play. I'd never intended of releasing it at all. It was just putting out, and I started talking to, and I was actually working with Glenn Teeple, who is with some of those old 80s bands, he toured with Stryper. Anyways, and working with him through the whole process was, it was really great. But eventually, when it was all done, him and a few different friends that had listened to it were like, you know, you got to put this out. And as I had the project going, oh, I don't know, there's going to be some people who remember me from the High Power years, from the Lost Coin years, who are really going to be uncomfortable with this CD. And yet, what I find ironic is probably, not that those other albums weren't me, it's hard because they were written, you know, a grade 10 writing Christian music. Yeah, everything is black and white. And so, and you know, you progress from that. But
and what happens? It becomes gray?
Well, some of it does. Yeah, like some of it, it's just not this simple Sunday school answer that you always get. And so there are stuff I look back and I think, you know, I wish I hadn't written that quite. So it's funny, we started writing the answers and then Lost Coin kind of came along and they tended to write more about the questions. And now this album is, well, it uses the word penis in one of the songs. And I mean,
in reference to
emails. You know those emails you get that enhance your, you know, and that's all it is. It just makes this reference to get, you know, to get these emails and so that part. So I put that on there, and it's funny because a lot of people that I thought would be offended wrote me and were like, "Oh, that's hilarious! I get those emails all the time." Yeah, but yeah, I did have a few people that were like, "You can't put that on a CD. You're a Christian." And it's like, well, I would, I don't know, like. You cut yours off first and then call me and we'll like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, so, what's the big deal?
Yeah, and so I guess with part of it, it is a more authentic CD, but there are things on it that are going to make it a little more uncomfortable. And certainly, like, there's one song on there that really does just kind of, it's a question. God, where are you in this kind of mess of stuff? And that was where I was at, where I was going through.
Right, and Michael, that's the CD, and I was looking at all the titles and even just listening to your song now. It really resonates with some pain or some self-discovery or process. And I know that your mom, who passed away, and I'm so sorry to hear that, it was because of a PSP.
Yes, yeah, it was, yeah, progressive supranuclear palsy, which is... It's for her battle with it was about 4 years long, and it's kind of a mixture between the worst of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and her birthday's tomorrow, so it's a little bit of a. It was a really difficult time to go through that, and yet what I learned through that whole process, and it affects my faith, it affects everything, was just to really peel back. And look at everything and say, what is the essence of life? What really matters with the time we've got here? And so to focus on family, to focus on relationships, our relationships with God. What is it that matters, and what is all the fluff that gets in the way of that? And our relationships certainly with our siblings and our family, my wife, my kids. And really just stopping and saying, you know what, when I'm gone... As a kid, I'm really, really lucky. I there wasn't any conversation that I needed to have with my mom. You know, we'd go and we'd just sit there and I'd read poetry to her a lot. But I knew she loved me. She constantly used to say, you know what, like, hey, Michael, you know I love you, right? And you know, like, yes, Mom, I know. And we had these conversations. We used to mock her about it all the time. Like, yes, Mom, I know. But looking back, yeah, I did. You know, every time she drove me to music lessons and all these things she did, and she really was one of these people who just sucked the marrow out of life, who, you know, made the most of each moment. And that, you know, through this whole process, it's been painful, but it's also been very purifying. I'm really, really comfortable in my skin now as far as my faith and as far as my relationships with people. And
now, Michael, that's interesting because for a lot of people, when you go through pain and losing somebody that you love, that's the time you lash out at God and get pissed off at him and get disappointed and say, you know what, if there is a God, why would they take my mom at such at an age, or why my nephew?
I get that. I didn't actually really do a whole lot of that. I remember I used to go to, actually, I think Broxy is in he has a church here in Oakville now, right?
Yeah, so Broxy came as pastor of the meeting house.
He was my pastor when I was in university back in Hamilton. And I remember him saying once, you know, when people are, when we find ourselves in that moment asking that question, it's sad because as Christians, we should have asked that a long time ago. We really, you know, and we can always have the answers when someone else is hurting, but when we're not going through that, you know, and I think I did. I think I wasn't really angry at God and blaming him. I definitely had anger, but it's weird. In that moment, it's like that Dangerously Beautiful. There's a quote in C.S. Lewis, I took that from, where they say, you know, is Aslan safe? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, he's not safe, but he's good. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff I think God asks us to go through that is, you know, certainly not what we would choose. It's dangerous. It's yucky. And we're supposed to bring him worship in that. We're supposed to direct, you know, attention to him through that.
Is music therapeutic for you?
Very much so. That's what it was. This whole CD was made therapy sessions. We almost called it On the Couch or From the Couch or something, because some of the songs are very, very personal. Others were simply more, I literally would pick out a title. Like, I love doing this with writing workshops and stuff, pick out a title and say, okay, this song is going to be called, and it's going to be about, and we're going to use these three words. and it was an exercise in writing sometimes, and so some of those songs made it on as well, and I have a lot of fun with that. But again, so it's hard because it's a very personal album, but on the other side, there's some of those songs on it, and people are taking the personal side and then looking at something else going, ooh, what's that one about?
Right, because you've got, you know, songs Dangerously Beautiful, and then the title's Losing Balance, and then you've got Minivan.
Yes, yeah, that one actually is really personal. That's any guy who's had to go through, I'm expecting my fourth child right now.
Oh, my goodness, congratulations.
That's the best part of this year. Anyone who's gone through that, though, as a guy, it's kind of a marks that midlife crisis.
What are you referring to? Getting a minivan?
Getting a minivan, having to go out and buy that. I mean, I think it's right up there with some of the hardest things in life that a guy has to do. But it's just that, again, it's that being comfortable in your skin moment where you go, you know what? If my 16-year-old self sat down with me now and said, oh, my gosh, you're driving a minivan with three kids? Fourth on the way? Are you insane? That's where I'm at, and so that's how I made it on, and it's like a little folky song. It's doing really well on folk radio stuff, which I find really funny, but people resonate with it for some reason, and it men everywhere, if you ask them about the pain of having to buy their first minivan, it's right up there with.
That's true, and I've heard that from my friends too. And so why Losing Balance? This is the title of your CD, Losing Balance.
Because it was really written at a time where I was off balance. And I've come out of the other side of that, and it's been great. But that whole CD, in some ways, it's that trying to find balance again. It's I was all over the map emotionally and with lots of different stuff going on. And it was – so a lot of those songs kind of came out of that. And that's why I think as far as from a Christian perspective, there are some moments that are a little uncomfortable on it because that's where I was at. I'm really trying to – you know, be as authentic as possible in my faith and say, yeah, sometimes I struggle with this, and this is what it is. That's, I think where it's difficult, too, is if you come from, again, from the high power years and the lost coin years, and you're used to, Michael usually has the black and white answer to this question, what the heck is this? It looks like he's, you know, and it's funny, because in a lot of ways, my faith, having gone through that, and having gone through that whole process, is far more authentic, far more sincere, and a whole lot stronger now than it ever was when I thought I had all the answers.
You know, Mike, I look at you, and I'm listening to you, and it's so refreshing because I think, you know, we come from, a lot of us have come from backgrounds, especially Christian backgrounds, that it's always, you always had to have the answer. It was always black or white. There was no middle gray, and it seemed like it was never okay to sit in the mystery of God and in the questions, because we've come from places where it's like, nope, this is right, this is wrong, this is how it is, just trust me, you know, and you heard it from your pastor, you're from your parents. And so it is so refreshing to hear you say, you know what, you know, I feel I'm now the most authentic version of myself. And I think that's what we all need to be.
Well, and I think it's what certainly the outside world is looking at Christianity going, please don't, like, stop trying to tell me you have all the answers and that this is the way it should be. You don't understand my life. You don't know where I'm coming from. You don't. We can celebrate the mystery of God. We can celebrate not knowing and be totally comfortable and going, you know what? I don't have that answer. I don't know. And I'll certainly walk with you on the journey to find it, but we may never know.
Right.
And be comfortable with that.
So, Michael, where can people pick up your CD, Losing Balance?
Right now, probably, it's going to be on iTunes in about a week. It's going up there, but you can get it CD Baby online or some of the local retailers and stuff. Certainly, if you catch one of our concerts, I'm playing with a band called The Upside of Maybe. And
are you playing locally around the Greater Toronto area?
We're all over the place. I'm in Toronto on Sunday at a United Church. Pick a United Church. I'm there. No, I'm at a United Church downtown. Go on my website.
And it's michaelbannerman.com. Michaelbannerman.com. Guys, you know what? It's so great to support Canadian local recording artists, and so really want to encourage you to get out and get the CD, Losing Balance. Go on michaelbannerman.com and check out his really cool bio. You know, you probably, the first person I've ever read whose bio is not just like, I did this, this, and this, and this, but it was like this novella, novel, little small, you know, yeah, really novel of your life, and it really encouraged me. So anyway, Michael is going to play a song as we end this part of the interview. And Michael, you got to come back. This was really great. You're amazing, and I love just your honesty and authenticity. And so what song are you playing?
This one's called Sad Song. I wrote this one literally a week before my mom died, and it's one that is resonating with me today. So,
well, let's just say that this one is in remembrance of your mom's birthday tomorrow. And we just really appreciate that you're here, and so we're going to go out with the sad song.
Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. Michael Bannerman, BannerMan.com. Check out his bio and see where he's going, and check him out at the United Church or wherever he is across Canada. And check out his CD and get a CD, Losing Balance. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thanks.
We are going to be talking to Carolyn, who was a victim of clergy abuse. And we'll have lots to say with her. Stay with us on The Drew Marshall Show.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.